Welcome to Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride. It's the second week of our Young Blood series, our version of a list like the Forbes 30 Under 30, or for all you hip-hop heads, the XL Freshman Class. All month long, we've got emerging artists we're excited about. This week, pianist Isaiah J. Thompson.
For me, I try to be the same person offstage as I am onstage, or vice versa. And I think sincerity is something that's missing, especially in my generation. And honesty can be clouded. Most times we're behind some sort of technology. I think, especially when you're writing music, your job is to bring people back to what's actually happening. And what's actually happening is real things that have happened in your life outside of your phone. And that's hard to write, and that's hard to probably receive sometimes.
Isaiah's been on my radar since he was 12 years old. I've witnessed firsthand this young man's growth from a student of the music to a confident leader. We'll unpack some of his origin story later, one of his craziest gigs, and hear from another one of his longtime colleagues, saxophonist Julian Lee.
I've known Isaiah for probably about 15 years. Isaiah embodies a very physical approach to the instrument. He's not afraid to lay into the piano, and I can feel him. Isaiah's band is the best. I love playing with this band.
So how about let's get into it and hear this band in action. All of our music this hour comes from various concerts over the years that Isaiah played at Dizzy's Club at Jazz and Lincoln Center. We'll kick things off with an original, one he calls To Walk in the Wake of Something Beautiful. We'll be right back. To Walk in the Wake of Something Beautiful, an original composition by pianist Isaiah J. Thompson. In his quartet, Julian Lee, tenor saxophone, Philip Norris, bass, and T.J. Reddick, drums. Isaiah J. Thompson was born in 1997 and grew up in West Orange, New Jersey. Throughout his childhood, his parents were very supportive, introducing him to all kinds of activities.
I did the swimming and the fencing and the karate and the tap dancing, all those things. And I started to drop them off one at a time. And I had the piano was left, you know. And even at one point I was like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
But one of Isaiah's neighbors just so happened to be Nat Adderley Jr., son of the Nat Adderley and nephew of the even more famous Cannonball. Nat would take Isaiah to local gigs and introduce him to the scene. Isaiah also got introduced to educational programs like the one I started with my wife, Jazz House Kids. I clearly remember seeing Isaiah get hooked on the music played by his peers.
When I started to see that there were other students around my age and they were just playing on such a high level, that's when I was like, oh, okay, you have to be serious to play this music.
One of those serious teenagers was tenor saxophonist Julian Lee.
Julian was like, you know, he was a little bit older than me, and he was like, I looked up to him always, still now. So have him playing him in my band is hilarious to me because he was always so much better.
I think age and all the level you're at, they seem to matter more when you're young. The difference can be really magnified. A couple years makes all the difference. But now we're a little bit older and he's my boss. So it's the beauty of the music and the relationships you have with each other and like the longevity of it. I mean, I know I'm going to know Isaiah when I'm an old man. That's just a funny thought to think about.
Around the same time that Isaiah and Julian linked up, Isaiah won an award at Jazz and Lincoln Center. He went up on stage to receive it and to meet the big man in charge, Wynton Marsalis.
And so I went up and I shook his hand and I don't remember what was said. I think I was so nervous, I forgot to take a picture. Because, you know, everyone gets to take a picture. I just, like, shook his hand and I just, like, left. And I think, you know, I forgot to take the picture.
But Isaiah would have many more opportunities to connect with Wynton down the road, on stage and at Juilliard. Studying jazz in New York City can be a bit of a double-edged sword. Sure, on one hand, you're in the Mecca. On any given night, you can go to a late-night jam session or go listen to one of the living masters. On the other hand, you are in school. So it's a delicate balance.
I was spending time kind of out late, you know, and then you'd have the classes early morning. You have the 8, 9 o'clock. It's not really a situation that's conducive to doing both, but don't complain, you just get it done.
Indeed, Isaiah got it done. He earned residencies at clubs and forged bonds with many of the cats that become the bandmates we're hearing this hour. And he got tons of playing opportunities all over the city. When Jazz Night in America continues, we'll hear Isaiah play with Wynton Marsalis. And he'll remember playing a private party for one of the most respected and decorated athletes of all time, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I'm Christian McBride. Welcome back to Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride. If you've just joined us, you've dropped in on our Youngblood series, where we're shining a light on players we feel best reflect the future of this music. Isaiah J. Thompson was just shy of his 20th birthday, a sophomore at Juilliard, when he got an unexpected gig offer.
I just get an email, like, you know, hey, it's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's birthday celebration. Is that Dizzy's? I'm already like, whoa. I'm like, why am I on the email chain, you know?
In 2017, I was asked to serve as musical director and host for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's 70th birthday party at Jazz and Lincoln Center. Pretty cool, right?
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, ladies and gentlemen. jazz epitomizes the values of our community, of the black community, the elegance and quality of our culture is always there.
For the party, I chatted with the basketball legend himself on stage and put together a band for some special performances for him. And one of those was a tune featuring our friend, trumpeter Wynton Marsalis. Now, I don't quite remember how it was supposed to go down, but Isaiah says we were going to play one tune. I mean, but you know how this goes. We pull an audible. Got to keep the young cats on their toes.
I remember playing, and I was just so nervous because it wasn't just who I was playing with. It was who was watching. Everybody you could think of was there. I was like, Lewis Hayes was there. Ron Carter was there. Jimmy Heath was there. Larry Willis was there. I remember specifically there was a whole table of them, and they were like sitting fairly close to the piano, like too close to the piano. And I was like, oh my God. I remember Wynton finished his solo, and then it was just me. And I just remember that feeling of like, oh man, kind of in my head. But I always look back at that and I just say, it was an honor to be up there.
Under pressure, he says he didn't stick the landing. But I don't know, man. Just listen to him. Isaiah sounds fine to me. Not long after this gig at Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's birthday party, Wynton Marsalis invited Isaiah to join the piano chair in the Young Stars of Jazz. It's a band of young artists with a rotating lineup led by Wynton, often presented at the Marciac Jazz Festival in France. In November 2021, for their virtual concert series Live from Dizzy's, Wynton asked Isaiah to serve as the group's musical director. Isaiah picked a piece by a pianist composer that was one of his first and most profound inspirations, Thelonious Monk. Featuring Wynton Marsalis, this is Reflections.
Thank you.
the great Wynton Marsalis.
Thank you.
That was Little Man, written by the late bassist Charles Fambro, featuring Wynton Marsalis on trumpet with the young stars of jazz. Julian Lee, tenor saxophone, Alexa Tarantino, alto saxophone, India Owens on bass, Kyle Poole, drums, and pianist Isaiah J. Thompson. When Jazz Night in America continues, we close out this Young Blood episode with some more original music by Isaiah. I'm Christian McBride. This is Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride, back with pianist Isaiah J. Thompson.
I'm the biggest geek you'll meet. I'm just very normal and low-key about it. I'm a big geek, right? And so I love all the comics and things like that. And I just, like, watched every cartoon that I could see.
One of those cartoons he was really into was Marvel's Black Panther. Before it was a blockbuster film, it was a limited animation series. Isaiah remembers it well, and one scene stuck with him.
And there was a scene where the king and the father, he dies, right? It was a burial.
The scene and the music in it inspired him to write a piece with a feeling of longing and mourning. So Isaiah did something he'd never done before. He wrote a piece inspired by a cartoon. He called this composition Burial Scene. It starts out slow and absent of tempo, with the drama of a yearning tenor sax. Isaiah tapped his love of jazz history and used John Coltrane's Alabama as a reference point. Train wrote Alabama in tribute to the four little girls who lost their life in the 16th Street Baptist Church bombing in 1963. But that's a nod to socially conscious jazz from 60 years back. Isaiah is very aware of the world he lives in today. Burial Scene took on more meaning in the wake of the Black Lives Matter movement. Isaiah had the drums evoke the sound of gunshots.
What I was interpreting was like the beginning, the sort of burial, that scene is dramatic. It's like in mourning, right, that sound.
Like a cinematic transition or a turning of a page, there's a breath. The dust settles and the bass comes to set up the tempo.
I think the rest of that tune is more telling the story of what happened. It's like a flashback. So then when you get back to the end, it's just like the beginning. It's, you know, you're back in the present of what had happened, back to the morning.
Let's check it out now, live from Dizzy's Club. This is Isaiah J. Thompson on piano with his quartet featuring Julian Lee on tenor saxophone, Philip Norris on bass, and T.J. Reddick on drums. This is Burial Scene. Thank you. Burial Scene, written and played here by pianist Isaiah J. Thompson. We'll close things out with one more original by Isaiah. He calls it, I'd Rather Be Tried by Three Than Carried by Six. It's in six, as in the time signature.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Right, you see what I mean?
That's his left hand. The right hand is inspired by pianists like Bobby Timmons, who, with songs like Dat Dare and This Here, perfectly melded church chords with soulful grooves.
And so then you have the melody. Right, that kind of thing.
And Isaiah took the church feel even further with this intro.
That was like the feeling that I wanted to get. That's how we started playing the tune. Like, I think we should clap. I told them, like, that's like the spirit of the tune, and this is how we're gonna start.
Live from Dizzy's Club, here's Isaiah J. Thompson with his tune, I'd Rather Be Tried by Three Than Carried by Six.
Thank you.
Julian Lee at the saxophone. Philip Norris at the bass. TJ Reddick at the drums. My name is Isaiah Thompson. Thank you.
This wraps our second episode in the Youngblood series, but don't forget to check in with us next week for our next Youngblood, alto saxophonist Sarah Hanahan.
I'm lucky that my parents, they always knew I was going to play music, which is insane. They always were just like, yeah, you're going to be in one capacity or another, whether it was I was going to teach or whether I was going to play. They just knew.
Jazz Night in America is a production of WBGO Studios, Jazz in Lincoln Center, and NPR Music. This episode was written and produced by Alex Arif. Assistant producers, Scout Opetut and Camilo Garzon. Consulting editor, Katie Simon. Our Young Bloods theme features samples of all five members of our class and was produced by Radar Ellis. Episode mixed by Ron Scalzo. Our team includes Sarah Giletti, Trevor Smith, Nate Chenin, and Saraya Muhammad, our project manager. The music was recorded by Rob McCumber, Chris Gold, and Todd Whitelock. Special thanks to Jake Cohen. Keith Jenkins is the Vice President of Visuals and Strategy in NPR Music. Executive producers are Gabrielle Armand and Anya Grundman. I'm Christian McBride.